with enough Hungarians and Germans thrown in to offset inbreeding. It was a good place to buy calzone or play the numbers. And if you had to live in Trenton anyway, it was an okay place to raise a family. When I was a kid, I didn't ordinarily play with Joseph Morelli. He lived two blocks over and was 2 years older. "Stay away from those Morelli boys," my mother had warned me. "They're wild. I hear stories about the things they do to girls when they get them alone." "What kind of things?" I'd eagerly asked. "You don't want to know," my mother had answered. "Terrible things. Things that aren't nice." From that moment on, I viewed Joseph Morelli with a combination of terror and prurient curiosity that bordered on awe. 2 weeks later, at the age of 6, with quaking knees and a squishy stomach, I followed Morelli into his father's garage on the promise of learning a new game. The Morelli garage hunkered detached and snubbed at the edge of their lot. It was a sorry affair, lit by a single shaft of light filtering through a grime-coated window. Its air was stagnant, smelling of corner must, discarded tires, and jugs of used motor oil. Never destined to house the Morelli cars, the garage served other purposes. Old man Morelli used the garage to take his belt to his sons. His sons used the garage to take their hands to themselves. And Joseph Morelli took me, Stephanie Plum, to the garage to play train. "What's the name of this game?" I'd asked Joseph Morelli. "Choo-choo," he'd said, down on his hands and knees, crawling between my legs, his head trapped under my short pink skirt. "You're the tunnel, and I'm the train." I suppose this tells something about my personality, that I'm not especially good at taking advice, or that I was born with an overload of curiosity. Or maybe it's about rebellion, or boredom, or fate. At any rate, it was a one-shot deal and darn disappointing, since I'd only gotten to be the tunnel, and I'd really wanted to be the train. 10 years later, Joe Morelli was still living two blocks over. He'd grown up big and bad, with eyes like black fire one minute and melt-in-your-mouth chocolate the next. He had an eagle tattooed on his chest, a tight-assed, narrow-hipped swagger, and a reputation for having fast hands and clever fingers. My best friend, Mary Lou Molnar, said she heard Morelli had a tongue like a lizard. "Holy cow," I'd answered. "What's that supposed to mean?" "Just don't let him get you alone and you'll find out. Once he gets you alone, that's it. You're done for." I hadn't seen much of Morelli since the train episode. I supposed he'd enlarged his repertoire of sexual exploitation. I opened my eyes wide and leaned closer to Mary Lou, hoping for the worst. "You aren't talking about rape, are you?" "I'm talking about lust. If he wants you, you're doomed. The guy is irresistible." Aside from being fingered at the age of 6 by you-know-who, I was untouched. I was saving myself for marriage, or at least for college. "I'm a virgin," I said, as if this was news. "I'm sure he doesn't mess with virgins." "He specializes in virgins. The brush of his fingertips turns virgins into slobbering mush." 2 weeks later, Joe Morelli came into the bakery where I worked every day after school, Tasty Pastry on Hamilton. He bought a chocolate chip cannoli, told me he'd joined the Navy, and charmed the pants off me 4 minutes after closing, on the floor of Tasty Pastry, behind the case filled with chocolate eclairs. The next time I saw him, I was 3 years older. I was on my way to the mall, driving my father's Buick, when I spotted Morelli, standing in front of Giovicchini's meat market. I gunned the big V8 engine, jumped the curb, and clipped Morelli from behind, bouncing him off the front right fender. I stopped the car and got out to assess the damage. "Anything broken?"